This is the word of the Lord found in Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34. Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I do believe in my study of scriptures that God has made creatures with their own will. I do not believe that the will of fallen man can save him. That is, when God made Adam, Adam had the capability to obey God and not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, he had the capability to not obey God. He could choose to obey, or he could choose to disobey. God, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing all things, knew the choice that he would eventually make, but did not cause that choice. Adam had the ability to do either one. I've given you an example of how you can know something in advance without causing it. If a teacher had given a test and the students were marking their papers, and she went by and saw a particular student, and that student had a wrong answer here, the student had the ability to study and give the right answer or to give the wrong answer. The student had either ability. Furthermore, the teacher could have stopped the wrong answer. She could just lean down and say, "You might consider that particular one." She knew in advance that this student could have done right, could have done wrong, but was doing wrong. She could have stopped it and didn't. And yet, it would be unfair to say that teacher was the cause of the student missing that particular question. This was an obedience, a question with lifelong and eternal significance. And Adam had the ability to obey God or disobey God, and he chose to disobey. And as God had told him, the significance and the consequences of that disobedience would be, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam died in a spiritual manner. And the thing was that as in Adam, all die. It says, "Even so in Christ are all made alive." But I want you to think about the first part of that verse, is that Adam died and we died in him, so we still have a will to be able to choose. It's just now being dead in trespasses and sins and being conceived in iniquity, we choose from one course of death and darkness to another. Some people, their fallen nature is reflected by dissolution. They drink too much. They drug too much. They sleep with the wrong people. They may lie in the gutter. They may be unclean. They may break the rules of society. Others choose a darkness where they're perfectly respectable, but they're cruel. They're selfish. They're grasping of power. They're prideful in their heart. They have no perceived need for God. So whether it's a very disrespectful disobedience or whether it's a very respectful disobedience, the natural man, having a will before being born again, his will is still to choose between one form of disobedience and another form of disobedience. You may have a stream of water flowing down a hillside, and it may flow to the left or it may flow to the right, but what it will not and cannot choose to do is turn around and flow back uphill. And that's the condition of the fallen human nature, and that's the way that every human being is conceived into life today. We may choose to go downhill to the left, or we may choose to go downhill to the right, but we cannot choose to give ourselves spiritual life and do that which is pleasing to God. We are a fallen race. But God in His mercy, loving His people so much that He's willing to come to earth as a human being Himself and die for the sins of that people so that they might not be a fallen race any longer, also comes and indwells them as the Holy Spirit of God, and He gives them the ability to choose to do what is right. Now, before the new birth, they could choose to do wrong one way or they could choose to do wrong the other way. What they did not have the ability to do is to choose to do that which was right, good, and pleasing in the sight of God. But He, in grace, paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives them that ability. The Psalm 110 says, "My people shall be willing in the day of thy power." We read in the book of Philippians, "For it is God that dwelleth in you both to will and to do of his own good purpose." So we have his own good pleasure. There in the new birth, God has given this great number of human beings who are his adopted children, he has given them the ability to will to do that which is good, both to will and to do that which is his purpose and his pleasure. And when we read this psalm here, we read about that. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to my God. Verse 34, I will be glad in the Lord. There is the ability to do that which is pleasing and good and praiseworthy, even in the sight of God Himself. By His grace, we can do that. And what a wonderful thing it is when God's children choose to do that which He has given them the ability to do, pleasing in His sight. There's a psalm very similar to this, wording in Psalm 146. We read there about in verses 1 and 2, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." You know that we've read of good men and women in the history of the Bible that have chosen, they have willed by God's grace to serve God acceptably. When Daniel and his friends, Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even Daniel had a Babylonian name, it was Belteshazzar. When those four young men were in captivity in Babylon, early in their years, the king was going to feed them from his own table, his meats and his wines. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And so he ate that food which was commanded of him of God and took a risk to do it. And yet God blessed him, and the king found Daniel and his friends wiser than his wise men. They had a wisdom that was given to them of God. We find when Barnabas went up in the New Testament to check out the new church at Antioch, the saints in Jerusalem asked him to go visit this sister church and see how they do. And it says in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." There again they were choosing with a will and a purpose to cleave, that is to join themselves unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul, writing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he's writing about praising God in the Spirit. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now you understand, I think, that it's not just enough for us to say, I will do this. The only way that we will be able to do that is that we pray that God would give us His Spirit and that we search and gain understanding. That's kind of like saying, I will be a virtuoso piano player. Well, just saying it over and over again won't do the job. You sit down and you'll hit the same series of clunkers that you would the day before. But if your intent is, I will become the very best piano player I can be, and you practice 2 hours today and 2 hours tomorrow and 2 hours the day after, and you do that for years, a few years later, sure enough, you become a good piano player. And here, the Apostle Paul, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Well, the Apostle Paul was a man who prayed that God would give his Holy Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. The apostle was seeking for understanding. He was diligent in his search in the Scriptures. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He prayed that God would bless his praise in singing, and he would pray that God would bless his diligence in study, so that he might have the singing and the praying in the Spirit, and singing and praying in the understanding. This is not something that we do because we're just so strong in our willpower. This is not something to do just because we say it. This is something we're able to will to do because God has bestowed grace upon us. And He bids us to humble ourselves, and He giveth more grace. So there is a... And grace is something that we don't deserve, we don't earn. Grace is when we get that which we don't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get that we do deserve. We do deserve destruction and condemnation. We don't get that because of God's mercy upon us in Jesus Christ that endures forever. We don't deserve glory and a home in heaven and God's tenderness. We don't deserve that, but we receive it because of the grace of God that is in Jesus Christ. So going back to this psalm, I will. There is a willingness given to us by the grace of God that we can choose to do something good. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. While I dwell upon the earth, I will consider it one of my purposes in living to sing unto the God that made me and saved me. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now, I just read Psalm 146, verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. You know, we can certainly apply our own interpretation and force the Scripture to conform to it. It's sad when we do that because we end up misinterpreting it. But we could read this as, well, that implies to me there will come a time when I will have no being. Now, you've just read that into those verses, if that's the way you look at it. But I understand the tendency of doing that. When we read, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, or while I have any being. Well, does that mean there's going to be a time when we have no being? I'll have to say that there was a point, I don't know if I can call it a time, when we used to have no being. We didn't pre-exist. Our conception, there wasn't this whole bunch of souls and God was sitting around waiting to stick one into a body as if we ourselves were eternal, going both infinitely into the past. That's not the way it was. Otherwise, you couldn't say we were created, that we were God's creatures. God created us, and at one point, before we were created, we didn't exist. And God forms both the body in the womb of the mother, and He forms the soul and spirit. He's the one that speaks things into existence. We read of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Well, if you think that we've always been around in some spirit or soul form, that's to say the Lord didn't make us. There was a time before we were made, and we had no existence. We had no being. But the Lord spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And at the time that we were conceived in the wombs of our mothers, He was the one that caused that to happen. And He's the one that gave us spirit and soul. As a matter of fact, my belief from reading the scripture is that a human being becomes a human being at the point of conception. What scripture is that? Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David is saying, I was a sinner from the moment of my conception. How could someone be a sinner from the moment of conception if they weren't a human from the moment of conception? We find out that John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb of his mother Elizabeth at the greeting of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. And it wasn't just a kick. The Holy Spirit said, John the Baptist, the babe, leaped for joy in the womb of the mother. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us. And that was written by Luke, a doctor, a Greek doctor, one of those Greeks who love reason so much, and one of those who loved the scientific practice of medicine so much, was inspired by the Spirit of God to write that it was not a kick, it was not a motion, it was a leap of joy. How could someone do that if they were not already born again? How could they be born again if they were not indeed a human being? And so we come into existence. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul writes about God, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." So our creation, when we come into being, is of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which surrounds us and sustains us is in the control of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him we live and move and have our being. So our being exists. So when we read this, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being," just we think of how long we live. Generally, we think about our life on earth. Is that all? We think about our being, that we are who we are. Is there coming a point where that no longer exists for a child of God? And you know, one way you can do is you can take a scripture like this. You can pull it out of context. "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." You can take that verse all by itself and say, okay, he says, while I have my being. And then you can force a connotation on that. That must mean that there's a time when I don't have my being, and teach the annihilation and the disappearance of the human soul of a child of God. Is that a good thing to do? No. The other thing you can do is take this scripture and you can put it together with the rest of the Bible and see it in context. Let me just give you another scripture to put along with it. And it sounds almost like they were contradictory, but if you put them together, you think, how do these two harmonize? "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Now put it together with this scripture. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Can someone dwell in the house of the Lord forever and not have being? No. So what does this mean? How do we harmonize these? If I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, what's the harmony? The harmony is the child of God will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, have his being, and will be singing praise unto God. That's the harmony. All of those go together. So the point of this psalm now becomes that I will be singing praise to God in eternity. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, which is forever dwelling in the house of God. Now, I thought of this scripture. It's kind of strange. I like to go down to my basement and get on the stair stepper machine and the ski machine and work up good sweat and do a few chin-ups and I feel better. That's what I do. But if I do it and I'm thinking about what I'm doing, it hurts too bad. So I get an old movie and I put it in the VCR and I watch it to distract myself so that I can go for a while. And I've gone through a lot of movies, so I was watching Titanic. And there's a lot that I don't like about that movie, but there's a lot I do. And one that struck me that I really did like is the ship is sinking, and there's the young woman. She's floating on the lid of whatever that piece of furniture is, and there's the man she loves, and he's hanging on the edge and trying to help her, and he's holding her hands, and she's about to give it up. She's so scared. She's so cold. She's just thinking, it would feel good just to go to sleep and keep sleeping because I'm so miserable and so frightened. And he's saying, don't you do that. Don't you do that. You stay alive. You stay awake. And she says, I'm so cold. And she's just so miserable. He said, do me this honor. You survive. And I thought, and then eventually he freezes to death, saving her life. And she does live. And I know it's strange, but I thought of one who died for me. Far worse death than freezing in the North Atlantic. Far worse. A death that not only had such pain, but also shame and humiliation. A death that had not only pain, shame, and humiliation, but being severed from God in such a matter of payment. Far worse. Far worse than any human being's ever died. No one has ever gone through that experience. And so not just having someone that's keeping me afloat and trying to keep me warm while they themselves freeze to death, but someone who's keeping me out of everlasting separation from God by such a deep, dark grief as he went through on the cross. Do me this honor. Live. Now, certainly because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone that he dies for will live forever in heaven. He won't lose one. But wouldn't it be an honor to him if the time that we're here on earth, that you lived life to the fullest in his praise and in his service as an effort to honor him and his love and what he did for you. And that is what I believe, that's what made me think of these verses. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Will we do our Lord Jesus Christ this honor? Will we live? Will we survive? Will we face this existence with courage and love and faith and go on to do those things that are our joy in him? The joy of the Lord is our strength, and will be praise to him and will show our love for him by loving others. That's the way you do. Life here is hard. It's hard. It's like sometimes freezing to death on a board out in the Atlantic. Sometimes it's so It's so uncomfortable. It's so miserable. You just want to close your eyes and go to sleep. You just want to chuck your responsibilities. You just want to get away from the pain. You just want to not face it again. It's hard to get up and face the day when you do it over and over again. You work and you work and you're disappointed. And the rest is insufficient and there never seems to be enough money. And your health is breaking down. And your friends, sometimes your relationships are breaking down. It just gets to the point where you're thinking, it's like so cold if I could just close my eyes, if I could get away from it all. Some people do this through ending their lives. Some people do this through drugs and alcohol. Some people do this from trying a new relationship. Some people do this by going into worldliness and just trying to gain power. Others do it by going into bitterness. It's called fainting in the Bible. And it's the temptation is so great to just give up, just to faint, just to drift off. Do me this honor. Survive. Do me this honor. Live. And when I say live, I don't mean you're going on vacation all the time, you're having fun, you're doing things for yourself. This is what I mean by live. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, which is forever. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. When this is the way you choose to spend your time on earth, when this is the choice you make, you are certainly more saved than that young woman was when the lifeboat finally found her floating on the board. When you realize that no matter how hard it is, no matter how much I want to give up, no matter how much I want to faint, I will sing unto the Lord while I live. I will sing praise unto the Lord while I have my being. I believe that's part of honoring the one who died and lay in the grave and rose again out of love for you. He is the Prince of Life. As Moses stood before Israel just before he died and said, "Behold, I set before you this day good and evil and life and death. Therefore, choose life." I don't mean that just as an anti-abortion slogan. I mean that for you as an individual. Day by day, no matter how cold and how hard and how great the temptation is to faint and give up, will you honor God by choosing life? Will you honor the Prince of Life, our Lord Jesus? May God bless you.